we put it on the screen for you, and we bless the Lord for what he's done in the last week. But we are in a power that a point that some of us don't understand what completion means. It means God wants to make you perfect, whole. God has made you to become whole. Right now we have several out with illness. Two out of the hospital that we were praying for, you know, Patricia and Jeanette, they are out of the hospital. Thank God. They were on their deathbeds. We've had some deathbed situations this month. We were being tested at times, but thank God that he is faithful. We heard that song, right? He's faithful. And now this morning, another one woke up with a swollen leg and he couldn't stand up. We're praying for him. Come on. Because, you know, it's just another test. And we know we're going to see all of these because, you know, they send us the message or when we ask for how they're doing, you know, because we are concerned with them. Come on, somebody. And in fact, the one that we just prayed for this morning the testimony, we're going to share that. That's part of this word because we're in divine power, part two, divine power. What does that mean to you? That's part of his divine completeness that he's instructed for us to receive. Because when he made Adam, was not Adam perfect? When he made him in the beginning, the first Adam, was he not perfect? Absolutely. And then all of a sudden the fall came, but then they came a second Adam. And he was perfect with no fall. Amen. And so God has designed that we come back to realization to who we are as the human anatomy that he created in the beginning. And when we hear that God so loved the world, you must. And I know why some of you can't get there, because you don't know the faithfulness of God yet. You have not been allowed to be tested in that faithfulness of God. And you don't understand a true love because of culture, upbringings, because of lack, because of absentees. That true love that God has been given that from a God that he is to his children. Some of us don't recognize that we are his children. We are meant to be here. We were born to be here, whether it was a mistake or by rights. We must come to a place, and this is why I've arrived to. I will leave everything behind, but I'll never leave this God of mine ever. I've already proved it by showing him my love for him. 45 years, we celebrated on Friday night, amen. 45 years, he's kept us, my wife and I. And he has proven himself when I've given reason that we shouldn't stay together. I'm not the easiest person to live with before. Say before. I'm easier now because I've matured. I've come to the place that as we search the scriptures, I've learned that they testify of who Jesus really is. And I've learned that with that, we put it where it belongs. This word should be hidden in your heart. The psalmist gave us the hint. He gave us a hint that I've hidden your word in my heart that I won't sin against him. See, it's not about you and I sinning against each other. It's about sinning against the one who loves us the most. He's going to love us more than anyone else. People are going to fail in love for you. They're going to fail. It could be your own children. It could be the other spouse. It could be your own parents. We've dealt with many that weren't loved by their parents, that come to the place that there's a God that still loves them beyond that. They're not left alone. And that's because the purpose of his divine creation. How many know where he had a divine creation in mind? When he said he was very, very pleased, it wasn't he was pleased with the form of the earth. It wasn't from the separations of land and water. It wasn't from the gardens and all the animals that he created with. He was very pleased when he made you and me. That's what pleased him the most. Today, that's what pleases him the most. That's why he sent his son. This is why the cross, again, what is the cross? It is your victory, right? It is also your healing. Healing is here. It's also your freedom. But also it's your truth. That's why he says, pick up your cross. Pick up the truth. Because that's our direction of freedom. That's what brings all. And so as we go into part two, last week we brought three areas. Today we're going to finish it with two more areas, which is a total of five areas. Last week we had it where we proved his omnipotence and sovereignty. We proved his creation and substance. Number three, we left off miracles throughout scriptures because, I mean, you know, he's a miracle-working God. Now, how many really know he's a miracle-working God? Some of you don't understand that you are the miracle. You know, it's not that you have to wait and look for a miracle. You are a miracle. And by that, death hasn't taken some of you that had come for you. Some of you don't realize it came for you, but there's an almighty God that stood up and said, no, behave. And it went as far as it could to scare you. Right now, I'm believing wherever they were at, what was God speaking to them in their coma? What was God speaking to them in their death experience? How many heard that he coded twice the testimony? That means he died twice, came back twice. Come on, hello, somebody. And in that time, I want to know, what did you hear from the Almighty God? Because I know when death came for me and I died that day, I died in 1978, I didn't hear much except what I saw was hell, literally. The flames of fire, the lake of fire. I've seen it, and I've seen what was coming to take us out. But I also, at one point, saw a light that came to rescue me at what we believe is the last second was death. No, the last second was the judgment that was coming for me. Because you're going to hear about judgment today. He's the God of judgment. Today we're going to cover, after we cover the miracles, I mean, you know that the miracles did take place already. If you died twice and you're still here, that's a miracle itself. Hello, somebody. Thank God you're alive. Thank God you're well. Come on. Thank God for whatever you may be facing, but you're still existing. Today I'm thanking God for so many things, but I'm waiting to hear the good report of our missionaries' Christmas in Mexico yesterday. She can't wait to come and tell us. Come on. Hopefully she does a slide where we can see that. She don't have the time, but hopefully somebody does it for her. And how many she fed yesterday. And we were here breaking up putting back together everything. My spouse and I, and all I can think of is Christmas in Mexico. Christmas in Mexico. Christmas in Mexico. Why? Because of the kids. Because God loves children. Come on, he loves the children. He loves us. We're his children. So with that being said, today we're going to go with three and four. Number four is going to be empowerment to the believers or for the believers. Say the believers. How many believers do I have in this house? Do you really believe? So he's going to be speaking to you. As a believer, this is who you will become if you only believe. Do you believe? I believe in miracles. Do you? I know I'm a miracle. I believe in the miracles that I see. Every time I look in the mirror, I see the miracle. This is how you should be able to see yourself. You're the miracle God has spared. God has called your purpose for that reason today, tomorrow. God wills tomorrow. Say amen, somebody. And we're going to go to the book of, this morning we're going to the book of Romans chapter 1. We're going to use that because if we're talking about divine power and we're talking about the omnipotence and the sovereignty of our God, it refers to our God's supreme and unlimited abilities and authority to do whatever he wants to do. How many know he can do the impossible? How many have heard that all things are possible with him, not with us? Come on. And he does that for a reason. And oftentimes you're going to be put in a position where it's impossible. Like death. Come on. Or life itself. He allows that because he wants you to see who he really is. Every good doctor knows that when they have reached their full potentials of all they can do, every good doctor will tell you, pray to God. Every good doctor, because they'll hear about God in their medical trainings. And I believe in that. Say amen. I believe we have an ability to go as far as we can because he has sustained us and created us that we can do so many different things. It's called the gifts of God in us. How many know you're gifted this morning? That means he's empowered you. And we're all different in gifts. Somebody say amen. Somewhere in this, you've got to learn to start saying yes to the Lord. That's amen. And it's okay to say amen in his house. God, it doesn't distract him. It doesn't interrupt him. It pleases him because you're saying, I acknowledge that, Father. Come on, how many know we're crazy talking to somebody we can't see? You do that very well. But you need to do it for him, to him. This is why, how many know why we have coffee every morning for you? Why do we do that? Why do we want to serve? Because we want you to come and talk to each other. Why? Because it'll do you good. Talking to God does us very good. Come on, somebody. And he's unlimited to create. He's unlimited to sustain. He's unlimited to govern or do anything above. And you must come to that place. This is how great our God is. We sang that song last week, how great is our God. Some of us don't understand how great he is. Some of us don't see it because we see what we're driving out. You know what we drove out this morning in our prayer? You know, I'm in there praying. How many know what I'm doing in there? I'm in there seeking his divine guidance. Why? Because we need him to speak to all of us. Hello. And what this is not only to you and those and them that are going to hear, but if we are recording, it is also for me. I take this first for me. There's not a day I don't take this word or whatever I hear from God, because I hear from God constantly daily. Sometimes I'll see things and hear things that I don't understand, but I know it's for me. And there's things I will say, but it's not for all, it's for us. Come on. Because everything is not written in the Word of God, because we would not have the ability to go through everything that should and could be written, but it's not. But what he has written for us today is number four, empowerment to or for all believers. Say all believers. Come on, hello somebody. And it's going to start with Romans chapter 1. Look how he says in Romans 1 and verse number 16, King James Version. It starts off like this, watch. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Stop right there. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, now that you say no, you're going to be tested on it. You know what that means? When you leave these doors, and you're going to be out there today, tomorrow, God willing, all week, all the rest of the month, it doesn't matter. You're going to be put in a position. Tell them for me. Tell them for me about me. Not you, about him. Tell them what I did for them. Tell them why I paid a price. Tell them because I love them. And he's going to use you because you said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Watch this. Why not? For it is the power of God. We're talking about the empowerment of God. Hello, somebody. The empowerment of God unto salvation. This is a part of your salvation. This is about the purpose. Why does he empower us? That we can fulfill the will of God in the salvation that he has created for us to receive. How many know we've been created to receive the salvation of God? How many know that you're walking in the salvation of God? This whole world doesn't mean they're going to be all saved. Oh, Jesus, help me here, Lord. Why? We're going to cover judgment as part of the second and the fifth understanding of divine power, because God is powerful, right? God is good. Come on, you say all the time. But really? And all the time what? God is good. Really? Do we really accept that as a true statement, or is it just some words that we've learned to repeat? Amen? But no. It is, again now, For I am not ashamed, watch how he puts it, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Say everyone. It's not limited. That's including you. That's including them. It's including those out there. Hello, somebody. To everyone, what? That believeth. How many know not everybody's going to believe it? Not everybody's going to accept this word of God. But look, to the Jews first. Never rule out Israel, ever. Never rule out a Jewish native, as we would say it. Never rule out. And I just found out I'm 3% Jewish. So I'm a Sephardic Jew because I have Spanish-Mexican blood. Hello. And so if I go tell Rabbi in my ancestry testing of the blood, right? You know what he's going to tell you? Because you're one, you have 3%. He goes, if you have 1%, you're Jewish. 1%. And what does that mean? All of you probably don't realize, but you're going to have Jewish blood in you because you've accepted the salvation bleeding plan of God. Hello? And so what does that make it where we are? We have the same benefits as the Jewish people. Because this comes to the Jew. If there wasn't no cross, there would be no Gentile saved. It would reflect back to the prior covenant. It would be only for the Jews that are going to maintain themselves. This is why in the book of Revelation, the 144,000 you're going to read are going to come to Christ. Those are Jewish people. It's not Gentile. It's the Jews that he's going to call. Why? They're still the apple of his eye. Being adopted in, right? In the salvation bleeding plan of the cross there, you are his apple today. But you have to understand, it is for those that believe, first to the Jew first, and also to the Greek Gentile, includes us. Come on, somebody, help me here. Well, we got to get to the part that we receive this, that this is a key aspect for our journey. Say our journey. How many know we haven't made heaven our home? How many know that as long as you're in this world, you're not in the heavens yet? But I can tell you and assure you, this is the closest to hell you should ever enter. God didn't design his people to go to the lake of fire known as Sheol, Hades, hell. He created us to be in the heavens. Hello? And this is a purpose that we got to come to and understand too, that this is a part of, it's a key aspect to who we are. A key aspect to everything we need in life. Come on, I don't know if you know this. This is everything we need in life. It is? Yes. He says it's the power because we become recipients of what? That power. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, go to the book of Acts real quick, like chapter 1. Some of you know this, but you act like it doesn't exist. He doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to walk in it. Hello. Remember, the devils believe, but they tremble. Devils believe greater than we do at times. And they tremble. They have a fear of God that we have lost. We need that fear back. Not that we're afraid, the reverence to Almighty God of who he really is. But what do you mean? What do you mean a recipient? What does this mean that this will come upon me and I'll walk in it? Well, he tells us in the Actions of the Apostle, and let me tell you who wrote the book of Acts. It is given to Luke, the apostle. Luke, a doctor. He was a doctor in trade. He's not part of he wasn't one of the 12, but he was called at the time that the 12 existed, at the time that Jesus was walking and the salvation plans were going forward, but he was one that was used greatly because he has a gospel, and when his writing are meticulous. He's like a physician. They see things, talk things. Worst writers in there ever seen. They can't write for nothing. Only their scribble are known by those that know scribbling. But when he was called, he left his trade. And he followed the Savior. He's the one that wrote the book of Acts. He's the one accredited to it. Okay? It doesn't say it here, but history will show it and prove it as you do your studies. Eschatology has to come alive. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter if you know it or don't know it. It's not going to save you. It's not going to make you a better person. Come on. What's going to make you is to understand his writing and why God gave it to him and why God allowed him. And for you that don't know this, he spent all his time with Paul the Apostle. So Paul was in prison. Guess who's in prison with him? He was doing a lot of his writings. Hello? Because God put him there. You know, God's going to put people in your life for a reason when it comes to his journey. Hello? If they love you, they're going to tell you the truth. If they don't love you, they're not from God because they're not telling you the truth. That's just a false one. They're called hirelings according to the scripture. They're just in it to win it, as you would say, right? I'm not in it to win it because I've already won. I'm waiting for my prize. I'm pressing toward my prize. I'm pressing to my goal. I'm pressing ready at all times. Hello, somebody. I'm ready to go, as Paul said. I'm ready. My departure may be at hand. I'm ready. And I've learned to live ready because I just don't know when my time will be, because as these apostles or any of these that love God, we are not wanted in this world. But what I have received is this understanding in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, in his divine power, empowerment that he gives to us as a believer. But I. God's not going to punish you, because he's directly speaking to you as an individual. He says, but I shall receive. What is that? What is the word? What is this word promises you? It promises you what? Power. Hello, somebody. Wait. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. What's this empowerment that he gives to believer number one that's going to become a part of your life? You're going to be a witness. And do you realize it's not what you say is going to be the greater witness? It's how you live in the witnessing. You can tell everybody about Jesus, but do you believe Jesus yourself? You can tell everyone about his grace and his goodness, but are you walking in the grace and his goodness? How many know that God's people should never beg for bread? The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous beg for bread. Come on, somebody help me here. I'll recall this, that we, you know, every Christmas we used to give out turkeys we look for all the believers first that need it in our house, right? We didn't do that this year, I'm sorry. But we have two turkeys if somebody needs one, right? We can give two away. It's in our freezer. Hello? If you need a turkey, come on. If you want one, you can have it, brother. He's right there in that corner. Oh, no, there's one back there. No, there's another one over there. Oh, wait, there's someone. That's a little teaser. I'm an eagle, so I don't do well with turkeys. Come on. It's a little humor to my brothers in Christ. See, come together. We have a good time, right? Men's fellowship. Amen. Amen. We got some good games coming up. Amen. Good prizes. Amen. Come on. Hello. Help me here, Jesus. Help me here. But we do have to. It reminded me that we would give to, and back then when we were in Highland, right? And one of our sisters would always want the turkey. And then all of a sudden, she made the newspapers at another church getting another turkey. What a turkey. Right? Like, come on. What are you doing? Hello, somebody. David says, I've never seen the righteous. Understanding who we are as a believer, he empowers us. He empowers us with his word. Oh, Jesus, help me here, somebody. He empowers you because this is his will. This is what he desires. This is what he's created and we've been created for. Adam had it made in the garden. He had it made in the shade. That he brought woman into his life. He had it made daily. Daily, say daily. communion with God personally. God would come down from the heavens and walk with them. I've been asking him, show your Shekinah glory here, Lord. Let them know. I want you to experience what we need experiences, and that is his true power and might of who he really is and his existence as believers that we are. Because once you experience that, you'll never be the same, ever, ever. It'll change you forever, and you won't care what anybody else thinks. Because you've now experienced the true living God that he is. And he calls us sons and daughters. Oh, Jesus, he's so good and powerful. Man. He's so good to us that we have to accept this. What do we accept? Let's go to 2 Peter. Now, who was Peter? Chapter 1. Who was Peter? Who was Peter? Peter was the brave one, right? He's the one that rebuked Jesus. Have you ever rebuked Jesus yourself? We are going to say no, but watch this. You don't know, you may have. What do you mean? Well, your life is moving. Hell breaks loose. You see the impossibilities. And then you start questioning God. Why is this happening? The moment you start asking him that question, you're now actually rebuking him. Don't you see what we're going through? Of course he sees it. This is for your benefit, not his. What do you mean my benefit? Well, I'm going in the worst day of my life, my worst times of life. Why? Because he wants you to experience how good he is, and he will see you through this. That you can be awoken to his greatness, his mercy, his grace that should have not been there for us because we question who he really is. Do you not care for me, God? Do you not see what I'm going through? You don't understand when people, you're talking with somebody, well, God doesn't understand because, what do you mean he doesn't understand? He understands more than you'll ever understand in this world, right? First Peter is going to tell us something a little different right here. First Peter will tell us in the first couple of verses. It says, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, King James Version. I'm sorry if I didn't say it a minute ago. I get excited because, see, the anointing's on me right now. I can feel it all over my bones. I felt it in the worship. I felt it in my room back there. I said, oh, God, what do you want to do today? Because some of you don't understand this feeling that we get because I have to let it go. I want to release it, but I don't know if it's going to be to you. That's the question, because if not, somebody's going to need us. Come on. And we woke up for that reason. We're awake this morning. We're here. We're here for whoever he designs us to be here for. Say amen. We're praying for those who are sick and absent. We're praying for those. I don't know if that family went to go join Sister Anna that wanted to go be with her. There was a person with his family here wanted to go, and she, of course, she's not going to tell you yes without our authority, because she does what you're about to face. You have to be ready. Come on, it's not a bad thing. You just got to be ready. Your compassion. You can't cry over there for these kids because they don't understand what you see. They're boredom. They're pain, whatever. You're going to see little smiles, and you got to learn what that means. And because we're spoiled, we don't understand that. Because we don't understand that we've been empowered as a believer. Say, as a believer, I'm empowered for God's sake. And verse number 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1, again, grace and peace be multiplied unto who? You, through the knowledge. Wait, through the knowledge of who? And our Lord, God the Father, God the Son. You must learn both. And then you must learn what the third one of the Trinity is. What is the duty of the Holy Spirit? Why is he empowering us when we receive that Holy Spirit? Well, if you've not been here before with us, and we have broken down this over and over, the Holy Spirit has an office, has a fulfillment. It's here to do many functions in our life. But oftentimes we believe we can do things in our own strength. Say our own strength. You know, the apostle wrote to Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, you know, because, you know, we're in a time in a life, say life, but written over 1960 years ago, he had to write to Timothy. He says, you know what, Timothy, the time is coming. The last days. The last days. We're in the last days now. If you don't know, Jesus says the last day began when he gave his last breath on that cross. The last days began. But a time is running course that he told Timothy. He says, you know what, Timothy? He's going to say, physical bodily exercise profits little, but godliness offers everything. If you're going to work out anything, work out this word and salvation in your life. Come on, because you're going to need it. Say amen. You're going to need it. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto, say me, because that's you, through the knowledge. How many know who God is? No. How many know who God is? Oh, no. You better answer this right. How many know who God is? We didn't ask you about who God is. How many know who God the Father is as an individual to you, as a son, daughter, that he calls you son, daughter? How many know the knowledge of this one that he's writing to us? Because if anybody knew of God but didn't know God, was Paul the Apostle. So he's able to write to us as well as Peter. Peter is saying, know God and know Jesus. How many know who Jesus is? Who is he? Who is he? Who is he? He's the Son of God. That's correct. He's a Savior, absolutely, right? Now watch this. He's your big brother. My big brother is Jesus. Have you ever been in a family of five boys? My oldest brother, who's gone home to be with the Lord, told me, and I told all my little siblings behind me, you're going to go out there? You're going to be in them streets? Don't call me. Come on. Told that to my brothers. You going to be out there? You going to be in the streets? Don't call me. Hello, somebody. Because you don't need to be out there. Come on. Oh, Jesus. He's my big brother. That's why when you say Jesus, he says, what? Hello. How many say Jesus? Oh, Jesus. Every time you say, oh, Jesus, he says, what? And he hears his name how many times a day? And he's saying, what, with rebirth? What? Right? He puts it, I got to put what before the morning starts with these people because they're going to say my name, but they don't know who my name represents and what it represents. It represents a position, because in the prayer, you're supposed to ask Father God, say Father God, and you're supposed to close your prayer in the name of Jesus. Ah, he didn't say in the name of Jehovah. He said in the name of my son. Why? Because he proved to my point. Oh, Jesus. See, I said, oh, Jesus. He said, what? Sorry. But our scripture is, watch, according, on verse number 3, as his divine power, here it comes. Number 4 is empowerment to the believer or of the believer or for the believer. According as his divine power has given unto us. How many believe in the power of God? Raise your hand if you believe in the power of God. Let the devil know I believe in the power of God. Let him know I'm not scared. Let the devil know. Because he's scared of you. This is why he tries to manipulate you. This is why he puts fear in you. He doesn't want you to recognize you have the authority over him. And basically, now I'm going to really put this in perspective. You have authority over all things. What, Pastor? Look. Verse number 3, according as his divine power has he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and what? And virtue, number 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust represents an overwhelming desire. That's why you're always being troubled by the things of the world, by people of the world. Because when you're of God, people of the world do not understand you. They don't understand the grace. They don't understand the mercy. But in today, because your new year, we're prophetically speaking an awesome year to you. Greater things. Some of you have had great things already. Some of you have already received promises for this year, but that's this year. I want to see what God's going to do in the new year as he willed it. We're already in the new year in our Jewish traditions. And by the way, today's the first day of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. How many know what Hanukkah represents? It's the miracle working power of God for 8 days with one candle when we needed 8 candles to be lit. One was sustained for all 8 days. Some of you need to read the scriptures. It's a big celebration. And they celebrate with food and gifts. It's not Santa Claus. Come on. Huh? This is why we do it. It's about gifts and food. And what do we do this week, this Friday? We have food. We have desserts. And of course, desserts is part of it. But you need to know. But do you understand it's given to who? Who is this given to that he wants you to understand this morning? Who's getting this morning that you should be able to walk in your victories? Why? Because you picked up your own cross. Glory to God. Help me here, Jesus. Help me. Let me tell you why he gives us this according to the word of God. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's not his fault you make bad decisions. This is why I tell you, pray about everything. Everything. Even if I pray for how I should dress. I have a dependency, God. Which tie? Which shirt, God? Because I can do all kinds of shirts and stuff, but what God's today represents. Purple is royalty. I'm walking in royalty today. Come on. I'm walking in my authority as a royal person. Come on. And just like you watch in Hallmark and royalty, they have to, if they want to be of the United States because they're princesses and kings or whatever they're to be, they come to our country undercover. Why? Because they don't want everybody to know who they are. Why? Because they're trying to live a normal life. We can never live a normal life once we recognize who we are. This is why they call us for prayer. This is why they call for counsel. You're not of my church. I stop counseling those that are not of my church. I cannot go back to your church where you belong because I am not going to say something different than what they believe in because I believe different. Come on. I believe in this, what he's saying. I believe in the divine power through the Spirit of God that he's given us. Hello, somebody. Some of you don't understand that. We prayed for Donnie's father. It's a stepfather, but it's a father. When we were doing the candy bags that most of you left behind. Thank you very much. I'll see if I make you any more bags. We did all of our heart for you people. And now I got several bags at home. One candy, John? I got some. People left them everywhere. I said, my God, thank you. See, but that's the gratitude, Lord. That's okay. We're still praying for you. Amen. I'm thankful. Put aside. But if I put $100 in everybody, I can guarantee you, you'll be stealing those. I guarantee you, right? But, you know, you show your fruit to me. Doesn't matter. It's not about what was in there. It was about what was given for you as a believer. This is why you don't have the power that you should. The gratitude, testimony of my own son. Come on, somebody. Are you here? We stopped and prayed because I could see. I go, how's your dad? Because we already just prayed for him. He got worse. I said, what do you mean? He may not make it. I'm on standby right now. I said, stop right here. Don't take that cry. Right? I want to cry with her, but I can't cry. I can't take that cry. We stopped and we prayed. Didn't we step right there? And I told her, let me tell you what I'll tell you. What did I tell you? Tell me the time. Take the time. We're praying right now because we're releasing God right now. No, 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 no. God's not a halfway God. He's either going to do it or not. Hello. And I know we win. That's not what I'm asking. I want the win. Jesus, help me here. Come on. And so we prayed. And then later on, that moment, that minute, I don't know how many, an hour later, 2 hours later, 20 minutes, she comes. Pastor, you go, God. Come on, you go, God, right? Because it was God's will showing. And I want to know what he saw, though. That's what I'm going to say. He talked to him, God? Because that's what I want to know. Why? Because we are empowered. I don't need to lay hands all the time. I can, but I don't need to. I know that if Jesus spoke the word, I can speak the word. Come on. And I speak the word over your lives so much. Some of you are going to get convicted because we can't enter the new year the way this year has been speaking to you about. That's why we're going to come on Wednesday night, on New Year's Eve. I'm going to ask that you write down all the things that you need to let go if you want to join us. We're going to be here. This is my Wednesday night group, right? But it's New Year's Eve. We're not going to have no alcohol. I'm sorry. Can't do that. We're going to let you go home early. We're not going to stay till midnight and cross over. I don't need to do that. We're going to use New York time. We'll let you go home early. 3 hours ahead. God already heard the new year. We're in our new year now. We're going to celebrate. Say amen. I'm going to ask you to bring all your papers. We're going to pray against all of that. No names written. Just write it down, what you need to get rid of, what you hope to get rid of, what needs to be rid of. Come on, somebody, because we all have that in us. And we're going to celebrate the old year out, the new year in. If you like to join us, you don't have to. That's fine. You got other priorities? That's fine. You don't hurt our feelings. But I know God's with me. He's going to be here with me. And if you can take him with you, he's that way. Come on. But we're understanding that. Now, moving over to number 5 to get ready to close you down, we're going to go to the book of Revelations, the last book. See the last book? Some of you don't understand this last book. We're going to go to the 19th chapter, the book of Revelation. This is what was revealed to John while he was in the island of Patmos. What was to be revealed and what he saw, he didn't understand, but he was obedient to write it down, and he wrote it down for our sake. And we're going to go to the book of Revelation again. Stay there. Number 9, because number 5 is judgment and justice. Divine power brings judgment and justice. And some of us don't understand that. As this being a key part of our life, justice and judgment, Scripture is going to tell us about it. It's part of our life. Come on, say our lives. Say amen, somebody. And it's going to go like this. Verse number 1, look at this. Watch this. After these things, what things? Everything that the book of Revelation wrote. If you ever read the book of Revelation, you're probably not going to understand it. You're not going to understand some of the seals and what the seals provided. The horsemen. The angels, some of the things, you're not going to understand that. So read it, but don't let it bother you. God will reveal it in season and time. You know, some of us are so stuck on 666, but it's more than that. You know, 666 is talking to you being lukewarm. It's talking about you of the seven churches of Asia, which all of them are a part of us. And that last one is called the lukewarm church. So church, say lukewarm. He said, I'm going to spit you out. All that is detailed for us. But, 666, all we want. Don't worry about 666. Worry about number 7. Well, it's judgment and justice that's coming. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Ah, come on. You know who those people are, right? Does anybody know who those people are? That's us. We're supposed to be the ones. He's talking to us. How many are making heaven their home for sure? How many know you're making heaven your home? Come on, you should know this. I believe you're all making it. I believe you're destined to make it. I believe it's God's will to be there. So I'm putting you in there. Say amen. Am I perfect? Of course not. Are you complete? Yes, you are, but you're not perfect in the human form. But God is faithful to forgive. Come on. The revelator who wrote Revelation wrote, God is faithful to those who confess their sins to forgive us. Come on. These things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power. There it is. And power to who? To the Lord, our God. Where is the Lord right now? To the believer. Where is he? He's in the heavens. What's he doing? He's interceding for us because he loves us. That's why he gave us the cross. That's why he gave us the victory. That's why he gave us the power. That's why he gives us all truth. That's where we get our freedom. That's where our healing comes from. Say amen. And the Lord is with our God. Come on, because they're both one. Say amen. But where is his Spirit? Acts proved it. It's in us. And did you realize that judgment and justice is in us because it's in our God? And I know I'm not talking about who are you to judge me, because we hear that, oh, who are you to judge me? I'll never judge you. I give you the benefit of the doubt to make heaven your home. Say amen. I desire for you to make heaven your home. I'm not going to judge you. I'll judge what you're doing. It may be wrong, and I'll tell you. Come on, say amen. If you love your brother or sister in Christ and you see them doing wrong, it is your duty to tell them. And most likely, because you didn't, they don't want to hear it, they're going to say, well, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm loving you. Come on, somebody. How many let their kids get away with murder? Hello? If you love them, you correct them. Am I right? Am I right? There's a way of correction. Come on. What we don't understand is how God works this out for us. He is so good. We're closing you with this. His power goes beyond measure. It goes that, you know, it is running and it's going to be finally revealed to us in the final moments of our lives, his power, his goodness, his mercifulness. Many of you heard my story. Many of you have not heard our story. And it doesn't matter. It's not about my story. It's about his story. Come on. Right? It's about story because verse number 2 says, for true and righteous are his judgment, for he has judged the great harlot, which I know says a different word in the King James Version. The great harlot did corrupt the earth with her fornication and has avenged the blood of his servants and her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Hallelujah to our God. Because his nature for us, his divine position that he has come to give us, that nothing is getting away. Everything's getting by. We have duties to do this morning. We have a place with God that he's expecting us for this 12th month that we are of 2025, that when 2026 comes, he's expecting victory for you. He's expecting advancement for you. Come on. He's expecting goodness and mercy to always be. Psalms 23, right? Goodness and mercy follows me how many days of my life? All the days of my life. He's expecting that you understand this. He's expecting that you come to your position that what you speak will come to pass. If it's according to the will of God. This is why when we got that report, we got the report for Adam's father at 12:45. And we happened to be awake because of the tea and coffee that we drank at this party that you guys threw. Who put coffee out there? Who put tea with caffeine? Who does that to the Christian believer? Come on, try. You can't go to sleep. She's over here washing dishes. And come on. We got to go to bed. And thank God, though. See, God had his will because we got the text at 12:45. I looked at the time. And we greet in the power of the name of Jesus. Come on. Along with whoever's praying. Did you hear the testimony? Died twice. And that was twice in one day. We had to cry out for a soul. Why? Because that's his nature. Does he not love those two? I said, does he not love those two? Do they attend our church? Am I their pastor? Absolutely not. But I know who he is. I know who he loves. I know His will. Come on. And so we did it. In closing, God hears our cry. He hears our prayer. Say amen. He hears all that we need to be said. And let me tell you, one of the greatest miracles I've seen God. And I've seen many miracles. We've got miracles right here in the church still living. But one of the greatest things that I saw God do was for a little boy. You guys weren't around me when I was first starting up in Christ. We were in our Pedley church with our pastor, gone home to be with the Lord. I'm under our the other pastor, and where that pastor lived, we go to his house, and we got to meet people that lived around that pastor's home. How many have been to the pastor's house here? All of you have had an opportunity to come to my house. I got rebuked for letting you in my house by other pastors. What do you let him in? I said, well, because of my sheep. What are you talking about? I let him here. Hello? Nevertheless, we got a phone call from one of the neighbors that if I would come pray because their son is crying. I said, oh my God, what's he crying for? I want to see how you're going to judge this when I tell you. Because the neighbor's calling me, and he lives in this city called Bloomington, where the former pastor that I sat under lives, right next door to him. Didn't call him, called me. If I can come pray for their child. Because he's crying. He's in pain. And I said, okay. And we went all the way over there. And I had to pray for the most unusual prayer, type of prayer I'll pray. He's crying in pain because his cow's dying. His cow. They call me to pray for a cow. What would you do, church? What would you do if something like this? Some of you have prayed for your animals. You know that. Come on, I prayed with animals because back there, I didn't do it for the animal's sake. I said, I will because you called me. I'm going to pray because of the boy's pain of losing his best friend, a cow. Come on. It's his best friend. And so I laid my hands. And I went moo and moo and moo. That's what it probably sounded to the boy, but I was praying in my heavenly language. And I was saying, God, only you know. I lay hands on this for the sake of the little boy. I cannot see him painfully hurting, Father. And I know you love this boy, so I need you to heal this animal. Come on. And ta-da, the animal rose. Come on. The little boy's happy. The prayer affected a cow. My question is, why did they call the pastor next door? Instead of calling us to drive up 30 miles from where we were. Point is, do you believe that he's empowered you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Because that empowerment brings every word for you that no matter what you face in 2025 and before, what is haunting you has to be released from you. When you speak the words of releasement, come on. We release the power of God over Donnie's stepfather. We release the power of God over Joel's father. Come on. We're releasing it this morning over Jeff Edwards because he's the one that can't stand up this morning. We're releasing that word already over his body. Come on. We're seeing what he's doing for Jeanette. We're seeing what he's done for Patricia. He got them out of their deathbed. Come on. And some of these had heart issues. Come on, people. Understand your God. Understand who you are as a representative, a son and daughter, representing, filled with His Spirit, His power. He has given it to you for your lifestyle. Come on. A victorious lifestyle. Seek the kingdom first and His righteousness. All things will be added. In season, say in season. This morning, we thank God for you. We thank God for everything that He's done for you. We thank God for what He's doing for those absent. And I pray that family went to go see and been a part of the missions that we can get a true testimony of those that were involved. Not that Anna's not involved. She's the overseer now. Come on. I would have loved to see, I hope they take pictures with them getting a tamale. Come on, amen. I forgot to ask her if they're going to be the sweet ones or... Doesn't matter, does it? Does it matter? To you it does, not to him. What matters is them. Come on, stand to your feet.